This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Off the ball, GAA.
I actually text Tommy Rooney for tips on how to start a podcast. I was pricing ayahuasca retreats, so I think for the safety of everybody, it's better off just to throw all the headspace into an intercounty game.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Final One Standing by William Hill on Off The Ball. Download the app and play today. 18+, gamblingcare.ie.
All right, it's time for this week's episode of Final One Standing. Mick and David are with us. We've got Alex on the line as well. Alex, good morning to you. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Looking forward to a pretty busy weekend on the football front. But yeah, all good.
Is this the lowest key massive Sunday game between these two teams that we've had in a long time? For some reason, people are very kind of not that excited about the fact that, you know, we have a massive game coming. Why is that? Anybody?
It's an odd one, isn't it? When you look at the profile of the two teams, Liverpool Man City used to be, if you go back maybe 5 years now, it was the big game. I guess it's because both of them have shown frailties this season, and the likelihood is that neither of them will win the league, but it's not impossible that City do. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it more than I have done in recent years because of that, because it sort of has a bit of unpredictability about it. Whereas in recent years, it has been a little formulaic, maybe. The big games have disappointed. I think we could see a fair bit of entertainment Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, they're both equally bad at the moment at defending, which means that we should have, in theory, plenty of goals.
Yeah, that's the plan. I would hope so. It's a strange one. I actually personally still think that Man City could go on a run between now and the end of the season where they do put significant pressure on Arsenal. Now, whether that's enough to actually go on and win the Premier League, I don't know. And whether that starts on Sunday, I don't know, because it's not the easiest place to go still, Anfield. I know that Liverpool haven't been as formidable this season. That's there for all to see. But actually, through injuries and everything else that's happened to Liverpool in the last few months, they have settled on a fairly consistent team now, and it's working to an extent. Whether it'll work against Man City, I don't know. But I've noticed that with Pep as well. He's not rotating nearly as much as he would have done normally in seasons gone by. Semenyo's come in and he's playing every single game. Mark Gay's come in and he's playing every game. So Pep goes through these phases where he has his favourites, and I'd be curious to see if he mixes and matches against Liverpool.
I have to say, I think this game really suits Liverpool. I'm blue in the face from saying it about Liverpool City's away form. I just really don't think people are paying enough attention to is like every decent team that they've played this season. The only exception being their performance at the Emirates, where they got a goal and kind of held on, and everyone was very critical of Arsenal for that game. But that was a 1-1 draw. That's a positive result. But other than that, they've gone away and lost to Newcastle. They've gone away and lost to Villa. They've gone away and lost to Manchester United. They've gone away and lost to Brighton. And even last week, you know, they should have beaten Spurs and completely collapsed. And nobody doesn't beat Spurs at the Tottenham Stadium, you know. So, like, this is that's the reason they're not in a title race. And I still think they go to Liverpool. You add that to the fact that all of Liverpool's problems this season have been because of the style of football that teams are playing against them, that Arne Slot is more than willing to talk about and highlight and say, please do that to us. But City aren't the team that are going to do that to them. And Liverpool will be well set up, I think, to play against City.
Yeah, like...
I just think Liverpool are 13-10 at home. You don't get that very often. Man City are 7-4. You don't get that particularly often. And the draw's 13-5. But the opportunity to back Liverpool at Anfield, and not just odds against, but significantly odds against, is not something I think a lot of punters will want to miss.
Yeah, like it's two wins from their last 38 visits to Anfield for Manchester City, looking for a first league double since 36-37 season. So it doesn't really come around too often. But I think it's kind of interesting. These teams played in November. City won that game quite comfortably at the Etihad, 3-0. Remember Haaland scored. And like Haaland's form, I think this game is kind of interesting to look at, where the form of the two strikers. So Ekitike, no one scored more Premier League goals than him since December. And Haaland's kind of Haaland's form has really dropped off quite considerably. He looked kind of supremely confident at the beginning of the season, like he couldn't miss. And now he's just really not at it. Like he's, yeah, like City have, I think, changed their style a wee bit as well. They're not playing kind of maybe to his strengths, not like leaving space for their team to have the ball and kind of counter-attacking. And I think that's kind of contributed to Haaland's poor form. But Ekitike has been excellent for Liverpool. And in a bad, man, I wouldn't say bad, but a relatively, yeah, this, yeah, a relatively kind of poor season for Liverpool by their standards, Ekitike has been really excellent. So I think, yeah, I think Liverpool 13-10 is an unbelievable price for them to win at home on Sunday.
Still, really, this just recent form that Liverpool have been in, I don't know if I'd be spending anybody's money on backing Liverpool at the moment. I do know what you mean.
I just think that they have definitely stopped the complete rot, and they still haven't been playing very well. But I think their issue is beating
mediocre teams
that are below them. Yeah,
yeah,
they don't have the strategy, I think, at the moment. And certain, maybe it's the dynamics in the team to break down teams that aren't as good as them. But they seem to be able to do it pretty well against the top teams still, as seen in the Champions League.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't be convinced by them yet until they put a run of four or five games together. And obviously, last week, really good. Fair enough. I think your point, Alex, about City going on a run, if they are going to go on a run, it has to happen really quickly, because otherwise it's too late. So they kind of need to win this game this weekend. There is an urgency about that if it's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And you could argue that while Liverpool are an appealing price at home, that this is the year to try and catch them out, as we've sort of hinted at. What I will say is Semenyo has got a good record against them. He's already scored at Anfield this season, actually, on the opening day, and he really scared Liverpool. And I know that was the opening day, and plenty has changed between then and now. But Semenyo at 12-5 to score any time, doesn't matter what the score is, I guess. But as long as he gets on the score sheet, that's probably the standout for me. He's been boosted as well up to 9-1 to score first in the game. He just looks like... I wasn't sure when City signed him if he'd be a perfect fit, but at the minute, he's looking like a really, really good investment. And the fact that he's already been scoring against Liverpool, if I was looking for a bet in that game, that's probably the way that I'd go and leave the result out of it, because it is a tricky one to call.
Mm. Do these teams still hate each other, do you think? Is there like, are we likely to see a conflagration, fights?
I don't know.
The rivalry seems to be at a lowish ebb because Klopp is gone.
Yeah. Guardiola at Anfield has just had a terrible experience in his entire Manchester City career. Yeah. I think he's had a really poor record there. Interestingly, like Man City hired a lot of the former Liverpool coaching staff. So like Pep Lijnders is going to be obviously on the bench for City. That's kind of an interesting element to it as well. But City, like, I know Semenyo came in and made a good impact, but like, I don't think there's been enough criticism for Man City and how they've been, considering they've signed two of the best players in the league, and Marek Gehi and Antoine Semenyo, and they're still stodgy and inconsistent. And Semenyo, like, will be excellent, and I think, yeah, Gehi will be good as well at the back. But yeah, I think the money that City have spent, and Guardiola looks as well that he's, I don't know, does he have to fight for it anymore?
I don't know. And look, I mean, they've done well in the two League Cup games against Newcastle, obviously, and they're doing that every couple of games. They're still having that performance that makes people think maybe. But what happened against Spurs in the second half? Like, they had Spurs fans singing "Come on, you Spurs!" through what was supposed to be a walkout in the 75th minute. You know, it was like they got Spurs' entire crowd going for the first time at that stadium all season. Like, and that's Man City they're supposed to be playing. They're the ones that are supposed to be ruthless. They're the ones that more than anybody are going to like put the foot down when they've got it. And they had them beaten. They had them beaten 2-0 and they collapsed. And Spurs were unlucky not to win the game in the end. That just strikes to me, that just strikes me as a team that's just like not up for it at all this year. And there's something going on. There's some issues there that they're just ready for a collapse at any time.
They tried to refresh the squad, but I don't think it's just really worked. You know, and I don't. And I know, Alex, you said they might go on a run, but I can't see a consistent
$500 million.
Yeah,
to refresh the squad, totally different team, and the results are meh.
Yeah, I mean, look at the key players. Like Rodri has been like he hasn't come back to anywhere close to the levels he's been at since the injury. Foden's been really poor. Haaland's been really poor this last couple of games. I mean, not in general, but. Yeah, I don't know. Like they've signed these players for a bit, of, like Semenyo and Gehi for kind of a bit of a spark. But like, they need a bit more than just those two players.
Liverpool Man City kicks off at 4:30. Stephen Doyle and Graham Gartland on commentary for us. The earlier kickoff at 2:00 is not a London derby, obviously.
A23.
The A23 derby, Brighton versus Crystal Palace. That one kicks off at 2:00. Brighton were one of my potentials in final one standing, but I'm scared of like Palace are awful. Right?
Yeah.
But are they so awful that they won't get up for a game against Brighton?
Don't know. I feel very sorry for Palace fans, given, you know.
Yeah, they won a cup. They're
happy. But that should have been a launch pad. You know, it's an amazing thing that happened to them last season. But what you want is like you're a team on your own in South London, one of the biggest catchment areas in the entire country, and. You know, you've been a kind of a traditionally middling to small club. You have this great fan base, you have this great moment, you build this great team with a really good manager. And grand, they're always going to sell Eze. That's fine. You understand that. They're going to sell Elise a couple of years ago. But the way it's just collapsed this year, and even the way they're spending the money now, like, I'm a Villa fan, obviously, as are you, Ger. Like, Gessan was a terrible buy, and Palace got us out of jail after 6 months with us. You know, like, that's... You don't want to see that. You know what I mean? Like that's a bad move by them, spending a load of money on Brennan Johnson. You know, maybe it'll work out, but it just, they couldn't get rid of Mateta.
Yeah. And they signed Jürgen Strand Larsen as well.
But like, and they have the two of them now.
Yeah.
You know, brilliant. Like that's just a waste of resources, it seems to me, when you're as stretched as they are. So I just feel sorry for Palace fans. You kind of felt like they were going somewhere, and now it feels like it's back to the same old, same old.
Yeah, so don't pick. Do you pick Brighton final standing?
I don't trust Brighton either.
Brighton have been a bit iffy lately, haven't they? Yeah,
and they're like,
I'd leave that one off final standing.
Yeah, and they're so kind of up and down as well. But you never know. They're a bit like, I don't know, like the French rugby team. You don't know what kind of team is going to turn up. Brighton, like the one week they look like world beaters, the next week they don't. They look very average. So. Yeah, like on kind of the Palace thing is going to be really interesting to see at the end of the season. I have serious worries for Palace, like of them getting dragged into the kind of relegation scrap, which they shouldn't be, but like they haven't, like the last competitive game they've won was...
They were 8-1 a couple of weeks ago, I took a tenner on them.
Yeah, that's...
Like, I think there's a chance.
Yeah, like...
If West Ham were beating Chelsea, I'd be like, ooh, someone's going to fall here.
Yeah.
I think West Ham might go on a run.
Have you got Leeds left?
I do, yeah.
They're playing Forest tonight at home, 6-pointer.
But they just got hammered.
I know. But and their home form had been so good up until that
Chelsea
point. They were playing Arsenal, who just like dominated them. They're the only team that could possibly dominate Leeds.
Yeah,
physically.
Yeah.
Chelsea probably a good shout actually.
Anything else from you, Alex? That people should be watching out for over the weekend.
Over the whole weekend, just going back to that Brighton Palace game, by the way. Brighton have drawn every other game that they've played since the start of December. Now, they did draw last time out, which kind of... We'll come back to it next week. But it is worth bearing in mind, given that, like you said, Palace haven't won since that time as well, start of December. And Brighton are just so hard to trust. I looked at Brighton and thought that might be a bet this weekend, because like you, I think Palace are... really stinking the place out at the minute. But I do think Palace will have been helped by the fact that they haven't had as busy a schedule in recent weeks. Partly their own fault. They lost to Macclesfield. They won't have an FA Cup game coming up. They obviously don't have to play any European games at the minute. So I think they will turn it around sooner rather than later. But like you, I think they are at risk of being really dragged into that. Put it this way, I was watching Forest Palace the other day with a Leeds fan, and I said, you want Forest to be winning this, I think. I'd be more inclined to drag Palace into it. I think Forest will probably get out of it eventually, but that is a big game tonight that you mentioned, Leeds at home to Forest. On Saturday lunchtime as well, Man U Spurs. Man U is 6-10 at home, with Spurs at 19-5. I think Spurs are a big price there, not because they're a great side, because they're not, but we saw more in the second half from them than we've seen all season against Man City, and they're better away from home than they are at home. Man U are better than they were, but that price looks so, so short to me.
Yeah. Okay, anything else that we should be aware of this weekend?
In total, we've got so many epic boosts going on. We've got Acca Boost, of course, on your winning accumulators. Newcastle-Brentford, the tea time kickoff as well on Saturday, with Newcastle at 21-20. Brentford are 12-5, so keep your eyes peeled for the epic boost on that. That'll be live from 9 a.m. on the day of the game. But yeah, looking forward to it, and hopefully we'll see a fair bit of movement as far as the top and the bottom are concerned. I think the next few weeks are absolutely pivotal. If things go to plan for Arsenal and they've got some nice fixtures coming up, they may well be away and gone before anyone else can react.
Yeah, it could be over. Alex, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us this morning. Cheers.
The Final One Standing by William Hill on Off the Ball. Download the app and play today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
GAA.
I actually text Tommy Rooney for tips on how to start a podcast. I was pricing ayahuasca retreats, so I think for the safety of everybody, it's better off just to throw all the headspace into an intercounty game.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.